Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Three and Out podcast. If you're new here, the name is new, but the podcast is similar to what we had going on. This is the new version of the former podcast, Let's Talk Sports, which is also hosted by me. My name is Jimmy Morrell. I'm a sports journalism major over at Arizona State University, the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism. And I used to love talking about all sports in general, but I thought I would zone into one category, which is my biggest passion in sports, which is football. I played football for 8 years, and I've been following it pretty much since I was born. Sorry if you hear background noise. I live in an area where jets fly overhead, so if you hear any loud rambling noise, just know it is a jet, and there's not much I can do about it. But yeah, this is the new Three and Out podcast. It is just all talking football. By football, I mean NFL, so I will not be talking about the massive blowout Georgia gave TCU a couple days ago. While that might be entertaining and there's a lot of, you know, news coming out about that specific game, it's not really up my alley. You know, I'm not an expert on all the college players. And while I do keep up with college sports, I don't keep up with it as religiously as I do with NFL. So a few headlines going into this stream. Obviously, it's the end of the season. It's Super Wild Card Weekend is what they call it now. And we have our seedings. We have our teams that will be playing. First games are on Saturday and then Sunday and then I think Monday. But yeah, so we'll get into that. And then we'll also get into some injuries that are taking place that will play a big role in all these games coming up. Specifically, Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. He has just been ruled out today as injured and will not be playing against the Buffalo Bills, which obviously is one of the hottest teams in football right now. So we'll get into that. And then we'll also just kind of talk about how some teams plan to attack the offseason. You know, the Cardinals with DeAndre Hopkins. Some news broke today as well with the Cardinals maybe being interested in Sean Payton, stuff like that. The Patriots are a big storyline with their coaching problems. And, you know, just talk about the coach carousel and then getting on to that. But we'll start off with the playoffs. So I'll cut it here and then we'll jump into that segment. The first game we have coming this weekend is at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday, January 14th. The Seahawks head to Levi's Stadium to take on the 49ers. The Niners are 13-4, and the Seahawks are 9-8. Most people I can kind of imagine know which way this game is going to go. A suffocating defense over on San Francisco's end. And while the Seahawks have a fantastic defense as well, you know, their offense isn't – I don't think their offense can balance out the strengths of the Niners, and I think the Niners defense can suffocate the Seahawks offense. It's also just when it comes down to it, Seahawks are a team that weren't really supposed to be here. So sure, we could, there is a world where this could be a good game, but the experience that the Seahawks lack, the Niners have full force. Obviously, maybe not with Brock Purdy, their quarterback, but now that I think about it, I think McCaffrey's played in like one or two. But other than that, you have players on both ends of the ball for the Niners who have made the playoffs back in 2021, I believe, when they lost to the Chiefs. So that will obviously play a big role. And then also, while I love Geno Smith and the year he's having, I think not enough people talk about his fantastic performance this year. I do think it's worth a mention that Geno Smith is not built for primetime games like this and for a playoff primetime game like this. There's a reason the Seahawks are 9-8. You know, if the Packers didn't lose to the Lions, the Packers would be in this place. The Seahawks, granted, they did win their last week, but they're in here kind of by luck that the Packers choked that game. Looking at the injury report for both teams, a lot of questionable. McCaffrey's questionable, which that could play a big role in the Niners' offensive game, and Eric Armstead, the defensive tackle. So those could be game changers. I don't know how much. Ayuk and Debo are both very good receivers who could step up if they're called upon. And then over on the Seahawks, then you have Bruce Irvin, Noah Fant, Shelby Harris. Those are kind of the ones that stand out to me. But yeah, if you're asking me here, I think the Niners win this one comfortably, and I think they take it home. I really have a hard time picturing anybody beating the Niners in the NFC. I think the biggest thing you can have on a football team this year, especially it's a good defense. And you know, I mean, I can't say that completely because you see teams like the Patriots who have a fantastic defense, but because their offense is so bad, they can't win games. But they also were in a lot of games that they shouldn't have been because of their defense. So I think the Niners take this one home. I don't want to take away anything the Seahawks have done this year. They have been a fantastic team. The fact that they're in the playoffs after everybody thought they were going to be, you know, top five draft pick is incredible. So good on them. Kenneth Walker's had an amazing year. And then Geno, he's been 30 touchdowns, 4,282 yards. Just absolutely crazy. The next game that day, which is probably, in my opinion, the most entertaining game we have coming up, is at 6:15 p.m. over at TIAA Bank Field. The Chargers head to Jacksonville. Shocking that the Jacksonville Jaguars get to host a playoff game. But because of the way it works, they won their division, so they get to host a game. Jaguars, who are 9-8, go up against the 10-7 Chargers. And some might call me crazy, but I actually am going to sit here and take the Jaguars over the Chargers. I know that the Chargers have one of the best rosters on paper in the league. Their defense, you look at it, and you're just like, wow, there's no way this team is going to win anything less than 12 games. But as we sit here, they're 10-7, which still isn't bad, but it is only one win above the Jaguars. So the reason I'm taking the Jaguars is because I don't know. The Chargers are just not a team to trust. I really don't think the Chargers have good enough coaching to win in a game like this. I mean, like I said, the fact that you even can go 10-7 with this roster, and the Chargers week 3 played Jacksonville and lost by 28 points. So they lost to Denver the last week. They lost to Vegas. They lost to Kansas City, which I don't blame them. They lost to Kansas City twice. They lost to the Seahawks and they lost to the Niners. So Seahawks and the Chiefs twice, I can kind of live by that, considering those were both close games. But already losing to Jacksonville once, granted, early in the year, so you know you're still kind of figuring your groove out, kind of meshing the pieces together. But man, those Jaguars, they're scary. Their defense is fantastic. Trevor Lawrence is looking like a great NFL quarterback. Christian Kirk, while I still don't think he's the contract fits the way he plays, I do think he's surprised many by the way he has played. So I think it's probably going to be the best game. They have the Chargers favored by 2. So, but I really do think the Jaguars take it home. It would be close. If the Jaguars win, I don't think they're going to win by 28 like they did in week 3. I would say probably something more by 10 points at max, but I do have the Jaguars winning. All right, next we're going to head into Sunday's game, Sunday's slate, which actually has the most games. So the first one at 11 a.m. is the Dolphins at the Bills, and I really don't have to go into depth. First off, the Bills with home field advantage is just a scary thought. And the Dolphins being without Tua Tagovailoa is literally such a too big of a hill to climb. I know that even with Tua, they aren't the most fantastic team. You have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle kind of carrying that team to success. And I don't doubt that either one of those receivers could repeat that success with a lower level quarterback, but I do think it makes their job harder. And I don't see a world where the Bills lose this game. Also, with recent events and tragedies that have gone through the NFL, the Bills are playing with the biggest chip on their shoulder, rightfully so. And it's awesome to watch, but yeah, I just really don't think. It really sucks for football more than anything that the Dolphins are going to be without Tua Tagovailoa. Just because I in my head, I think if they had Tua, I do think the Dolphins find a way to win. But without him, I can't imagine. Looking at how they played last week without Tua, it was just a train wreck. And I know the Jets have such a fantastic defense, but it was just awful. Now, if they give Teddy B back, maybe it's a better game, but you know, Jalen Phillips, Teddy Bridgewater,
Jalen Waddle, though those are three questionable players. And then on the other end, Jordan Poyer. And really, that's it. I mean, Isaiah McKenzie maybe, but Diggs and Gabriel Davis are just amazing. So the Dolphins are 9-8. The Bills are 13-3. On ESPN, it says they think the Bills have a 96.3% chance of winning. I would probably go a little lower because, you know, crazier things have happened in the playoffs, but I still do think the ESPN's got it right and that the Bills will take home the win and move on to the next round. But yeah, that one's a cakewalk. Next game is the Giants at the Vikings, and I've heard a lot of talk about this one and how the Giants might be able to pull it off. Even ESPN has it kind of close. Let's see here if I can find this. Minnesota's favored by 3, but they have home field advantage. So I do think it is kind of crazy that people are giving the Giants as much credit as they're being given. I know the Vikings are probably the most fraudulent NFL division leader team that made it in. They won the North. And I get the Vikings defense is awful. And, you know, Kirk Cousins will either play like Tom Brady or Jay Cutler. But if you're in this podcast and you don't know who Jay Cutler is, that's really worrisome. I'm getting old. Okay. That was such a long time ago. But not too long ago, but you know, a decade ago. But anyway, I get all that. I get all the talk, but I can't sit here and I can say that the Vikings are fraudulent, but I also can't sit here and say the Giants aren't fraudulent because they also are. The fact that the Giants are in the playoffs is just amazing to me. I know they've had their games where they looked very good. Daniel Jones has not been awful this year. Saquon Barkley looks like he's returning to form. But at the end of the day, do we really think the Giants are going to beat an offensive super team like the Vikings with Justin Jefferson, Thielen, Dalvin Cook, TJ Hockenson? So I guess I could sit here and tell you that there is a world where I could envision the Giants winning, but I just don't see it happening. Not this week. Maybe if the Giants had a few more pieces, maybe, but I think the Vikings will move on pretty nicely. The next game and the last game of the night, another game that really just is so bad for football. The Ravens going to Cincinnati to play the Bengals. The Bengals are dangerous alone. They might be the best offense in the playoffs. The only offense I might give a no, I don't think anyone's, or well, I guess the Chiefs or the Eagles. Chiefs or Eagles, granted, they are the one seed, so people would expect that. But I really do think the Bengals, when healthy, are the best offense in football. And a Ravens team without Lamar Jackson is just like you're not gonna even be in the ballpark. The Bengals defense, I'm pretty sure they're a better run defense than they are pass defense. I could be wrong, but the Bengals, if they just do what they do best, which is stop the run, from what I recall, they won't have to try very hard to stop the pass. Because Tyler Huntley and Lamar Jackson are both questionable. So if the Ravens play with the third-string quarterback, there's no way they're going to win. So I think the Bengals are going to cruise over. I can't believe that ESPN says the Ravens have a 28% chance of even winning. I would say the Ravens' chances are lower than the Dolphins' chances. But that's just me. I would have loved to see a world where Lamar Jackson plays. But obviously, I never want a team to put their superstar player in jeopardy and ruin their career. I would rather see 10 more years of Lamar Jackson than have him play and get hurt again and never see him play again, right? So I think another game, the Bengals cruise at home and keep that weird coin toss because that was for this game, but keep that weird home field advantage rule, neutral site rule alive because the Bengals, Bills, and Chiefs would all move on. So moving on to the next game, Monday night. This is the Monday slate. The Cowboys at the Buccaneers. Again, crazy that the Buccaneers are hosting a game because they are 8-9, but they won their division, and by the rules, they get to host a game. And I am shocked
how many Cowboy fans actually think they're going to win this game. And I know that's bold of me. I know that's very bold. And I this could be the most embarrassing thing I ever say on one of these episodes. But there's no way the Cowboys are playing at 6:15 p.m. in Tampa against the greatest quarterback to ever play, Tom Brady, in the playoffs, and are going to win. The Cowboys are just barely better than the Vikings. And people can sit here and trash the Vikings and then act like the Cowboys are good. The Cowboys are good. They have a good team. But their lack of quarterback play is just not enough to beat the Buccaneers. And I know the Buccaneers have been awful, losing to the Packers, the Steelers, the Panthers, the Browns, the Falcons last week, but obviously Brady played and they were winning and then they took him out and that's when things turned. You know, the Buccaneers have been not the greatest, but there's one person that you should absolutely not doubt in the playoffs, and that is Tom Brady. So for now, this week, I'm going to give the Tom Brady card away and say that Tom Brady is going to lead the Buccaneers to a win. Whether that mean the Buccaneers suck for 59 minutes, but the last minute Tom Brady leads a game-winning drive, they will find a way. Tom Brady will find a way, and that's all that matters because that's what he does. Tom Brady just finds a way, and he produces, you know, these masterful game-winning drives. So that's what I have. So just a quick recap. Niners over the Seahawks, Jaguars over the Chargers, Bills over the Dolphins, Vikings over the Giants. Bang. Well, I have all the home teams winning, which is a little concerning because I feel like that doesn't happen. If I were to change any of my picks to an upset, it would be the Chargers beating the Jaguars, but I still don't think I'm going to do that. Going to keep the Jaguars winning at home. But yeah, those are my picks and kind of what I have to say about every game. Really excited to see what happens. You know, I'm one of many who are sitting this weekend watching from the couch as their team has been eliminated, you know, crying into their team blanket or their favorite player's jersey. And while I do think right now we're in a weird area where the playoffs aren't going to be that great right now because of all the injuries and the lack of star power for some of these teams that are underdogs, you know, I think this is just the first step. I once the Chiefs and Eagles get into the mix and the Bills have to play the Chiefs or the Bengals have to play the Chiefs, I think that's when we're in a really good territory where the playoffs will be exciting. But this is a more lackluster wild card game. I see a less chance of upsets here than I have in the previous years. So that is unfortunate, but we'll live and you know, maybe we do get a crazy upset. Maybe somehow the Dolphins beat the Bills or the Ravens beat the Bengals. So, but we're going to head into Sean Payton and kind of what's going on with that and a big thing I want to talk about and I've kind of observed. So I'll cut it here and then we'll move on to the next segment. All right, so the next thing I want to talk about, and it came to me today. So for those who don't know, the Cardinals are looking to shop star receiver DeAndre Hopkins, which I do think is the right move. They are going to probably end up going through like another sort of rebuild, weird gray area with J.J. Watt being gone, losing D-Hop. Kyler Murray is kind of in this weird place, and then obviously finding a new coach. But apparently the Cardinals are interested in Sean Payton. And I've looked up the cap space, and I don't know how much of a cap hit they would take if the Saints were to get DeAndre Hopkins. But the way I look at all this is that somehow the Saints are going to acquire DeAndre Hopkins, and that may be crazy, but I'm pretty sure the Saints have the cap space to work something out to acquire DeAndre Hopkins. And then Sean Payton, his worth right now is pretty high. Teams are viewing him pretty high. I'm pretty sure teams are willing to give up a first-round pick for him, or that's what the Saints want, and I think teams are willing to do that. But, I mean, the Saints have a chance to get a star receiver, and with Michael Thomas, no, who knows when he's going to ever be fully healthy again and play a whole season. But if you close your eyes and you imagine, okay, Michael Thomas next year,
if he is 100% healthy for the whole year, lined up with DeAndre Hopkins, lined up with Chris Olave, getting a quarterback in either free agency or the draft, or figuring something out there, maybe like Aaron Rodgers. I don't know, because DeAndre Hopkins is gonna hit someone's wallet pretty heavily. But the pieces in my head are kind of clashing to where the Cardinals are gonna end up with Sean Payton and the Saints are gonna end up with DeAndre Hopkins. I know the Broncos are in the mix, but the Broncos, I don't really see how the Broncos are gonna pull in a crazy coach like Sean Payton, because they don't have, there's nothing intriguing to pull in Sean Payton. I know they said they talked to Jim Harbaugh. Again, Jim Harbaugh, I would love to see him back in the NFL, but who knows if he leaves Michigan. Obviously Michigan fell a little short this year of where they wanted to end, but I think the Cardinals have, you know, Sean Payton likes Kyler Murray. He kind of is going to get put into a system with a new GM and – or a new owner, I mean, sorry. Or GM. He's the owner, right? No, he is the GM. Yeah, okay, GM. You have a new GM. You're kind of – You're the new coach that's going to be able to build the team you want it. And I'm not too sure, and I'll look it up right now. So, yeah, so DeAndre Hopkins takes a $30 million cap hit, which might, maybe the Saints don't go after him because that would leave him with $8 million left. So it says the Cardinals have the ninth highest cap space, which is intriguing for any coach because you are getting the money to get players you want and to build your team. And Sean Payton is one of the few, but is a coach kind of like a Belichick or Bruce Arians who's going to, you know, be a little brat about everything. He's gonna sit there and say, I want player A and player B. If I can't come in and get those players, then I'm done. I'm not coming here. That's what he's going to say, because he deserves that respect. He's that good. He's that type of coach. And obviously, teams seem to recognize that because his value is so high. Personally, I think I would want to see him on a team like the Colts, who kind of have one side of the ball figured out, but the other side is kind of in a weird area. I think the Colts have a phenomenal defense. Obviously, they need a quarterback. But like a team like the Cardinals, that is a kind of a full rebuild. And then a team like the Broncos, while I know maybe their defense is also amazing, but in my head, I see a better long-term goal with the Colts and the Broncos. Because not only are you going to the Broncos, you're going to the same division as the Chargers and the Chiefs, which, you know, the Chargers, sure, I just talked bad about them a couple minutes ago and said how they're kind of not as good as they should be. They always could turn around and add a couple more pieces. And then also you have to factor in that Tom Brady could potentially end up in Las Vegas. Obviously, I'll save that topic for when we get closer to that time. But personally, as of right now, I think Vegas is probably the most fitting area for Tom Brady. But we'll see. Or, you know, you could factor in that Tom Brady will go where Sean Payton goes. They planned that once. Tom Brady was supposed to go to Miami, apparently, with Sean Payton, but they got in trouble for that. So who knows? Maybe Sean Payton is the nail in the coffin for wherever Tom Brady ends up. Obviously, I don't think McDaniels' job over in Vegas is 100% secure. So, you know, maybe Payton ends up there. Maybe they find a way to trade or something. I really don't know. But the Sean Payton carousel right now and the sweepstakes is kind of weird and up in the air, but the Cardinals and the Raiders are where I think he is going to end up. Or I guess I shouldn't say the Raiders. The Cardinals is where I think he's going to end up, but I would love to see him go to the Colts or Raiders. But who knows? You know, we're kind of chipping away at that every week and trying to solve the puzzle before it all comes together. But anything could change, and Sean Payton,
you know, I there's probably more teams in the mix than we know. So that's all I really had to say on Sean Payton. But I just today apparently heard that the Cardinals were interested. So I was like, pieces are kind of coming together for Payton to end up, Hopkins to end up in New Orleans and Payton to end up in Arizona. Alrighty, I know I said I was going to talk about the Patriots as well, but that I've been trying to do some research, and that is just a mess above my pay grade right now. They're interested in some coaches. This is what I'll say. They're interested in some coaches, Kingsbury being one of them. Still no talks with Bill O'Brien, but other than that, we're not official. Other than that, Robert Kraft has talked to Belichick, and Belichick has confirmed that the Patriots will be making moves, offensive moves for coaching. So that's all exciting, but as that kind of unfolds, I'll talk about that at a later podcast. But other than that, I know this is way shorter than any of my old podcasts on Let's Talk Sports. But, you know, I don't want to drag these out. I don't want to make them too crazy. I know people who listen don't have hours, 2 hours, hour and a half to spend listening to these. So something short and sweet. This will probably end up being like half an hour. I hope that's a good length for you guys. And there will be some that are longer if it's, you know, a lot happens in one day. But as of now, we're just going to kind of stop here. I do want to talk a little bit about what the plan with this podcast going forward. So the thing right now is that I'm doing a lot. So this podcast is not the only form of content I'm making. If you like to, you know, watch Twitch or you're interested in live streaming, I live stream over on Twitch at Mr. Wonderful 436, MR, the number one, DERFUL 436. And that's kind of what I spend most of my days doing recently. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday are the days I stream. Wednesday is my off day. So most of the time, I think this stream will be once a week, every Wednesday, or, you know, twice a week. Well, I'm going to figure that out, but this will be like at least a weekly thing. And then also right now I'm currently working on a big project over on YouTube, not sports related or gaming related. It's, entertainment related, pop culture. So I'm working on that. So while the workload is heavy over here, I hope that you guys can find some sort of form of content I make, that's enjoyable. This is probably the most professional setting that you'll get out of my content, just because, you know, being a sports journalism major, I want to keep that trust with my viewers and listeners, and I want to be reputable for you guys and give you good opinions and factual opinions. So this is, if you want a more professional setting, this is the way to go. A more laid back setting is definitely my Twitch, and then kind of a middle ground is going to be the YouTube video. My YouTube is the same at as my Twitch, Mr. Wonderful 436, and same spelling. Currently right now, there's like an hour and a half movie review of Halloween Ends, which was made like 3 months ago. It's a very long video, but only like 10 minutes of it is like a spoiler free. The rest is like a breakdown. The new video I'm literally about to work on as I end this. So whether that take 2 weeks for me to make or a couple days, I don't really know. It's probably going to be a hefty task, but I'm going to do it. But yeah, so just want to note you guys on all that. And then also over on Twitch, you can drop a sub or gift me bits. Not that I don't want to sound greedy or like I'm asking for that, but you know, if you want to show support, that's the best way to do it. And then also I have a Patreon. If you just look up, I believe Mr. Wonderful 436 as well, or Jimmy Morrell, my name, you could find me. I have a Patreon. There's a $5, $8, and $10 tier. If you want to show support and help me, you know, make these hobbies more of a full-time thing, that is the best way to do it. But don't feel pressured at all to do it. A little shameless plug here. I'm sorry. But other than that, I'm not going to, you know, ramble on anymore. That's just some stuff I want you guys to know as I kind of try to branch out through all this stuff. So thank you so much for listening to the new 3&Out podcast. It's been a long while, I know, but I'm back and I'm ready to keep talking about football. And then I have another podcast called the Cubs Cast. So when baseball kind of kicks into motion, you can find me talking baseball over there. So thank you guys so much yet again. Your support means the world, and sorry for the long hiatus, but I am back. Have a great rest of your day or night or whenever you're listening to this. And yeah, I'll see you on the next podcast. Thank you.